I might say a few words about that Wilbur. But the word the Lord's given me is wrong. Now, I don't mean the Lord's word is wrong. I mean he's given me the word wrong to preach on. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. And verse 15, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers. That seems awful. That's just doesn't make any sense to me. God won't hear me? And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear you. That scared me to death.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Your hands are full of blood. Oh, I see. It's because they're wrong. Yeah. But I want to suggest to you it's because they have no capacity to be wrong. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. So repent. Now the first thing in repentance is you stop. Can't repent unless you stop. You got to stop. If you're repenting of doing something, you got to stop what you're doing. Don't go any further. Don't continue. Stop. Learn, wash your hands, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well. So you stop, and then you do right.
Yeah.
That's, repentance is so simple.
That's right.
I mean, just in terms of its definition,
right.
You stop doing wrong, and you do right. There's not much to it. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Look to God. Stop looking at the world. Stop doing what you want to do. Stop doing what you think is right. And just look to God. Stop. Put on the brakes. Turn from yourself and from everything that you were headed towards to God. Well, how simple is that? That just, I don't understand why it's so difficult to repent then. Why is it that repentance is so hard? Learn to do well, seek judgment, do right. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. In other words, stop doing wrong. And do right. Okay. That's done. That's simple. We've got that under control. Except it's not that easy, is it? It is easy. God doesn't make this hard. Stop doing wrong and do right. Well, that's pretty easy. But the problem is to stop doing wrong, you have to admit you are wrong. Oh, well, there's the problem. Yeah, that's it. See? When I was a young boy, my parents sent me, or my mother sent me to military school. Now, don't get the wrong impression. My mother sent me to military school because all those other boys needed a good example. All those other boys that were there, because they needed discipline in their lives, they just needed an example. Somebody had to be the one, oh, I'll act like him. So that's why my mama sent me to military school. So, in military school, we had a math teacher. I was in the fifth grade. And a math teacher that was a retired colonel, retired army colonel. And he was explaining to me why I was wrong on a math problem. And I brought it up to him. I got it wrong on my paper. I said, and I was going to tell him why I was not wrong. And so it's like this. I have no idea. It's probably fractions or decimals in the fifth grade. I don't know. I have no idea what the problem. See, that doesn't last. I don't remember. But what I can tell you is, he was telling me I was wrong, and I was explaining to him why I was not wrong. And then, as so many times in my life, a turning point came. I picked myself up off the floor. Now, I can tell you about a few turning points. I tell you what, you can learn as a 10-year-old boy when you pick yourself up off the floor. Apparently, I was wrong. See, it didn't take much. I wasn't that thick-headed. I tried to pick myself up off the floor. I didn't know why I was wrong yet, but I was ready. See, I could now learn. You can't learn unless you're wrong. People think, to learn, you got to be right. No. That's the problem with people. They cannot learn because they cannot be wrong. You ever meet somebody that can't be wrong? He's never been right in his life. He's always wrong. You see, yes, they were wrong. But they weren't going to stop doing wrong until they had the capacity to understand they were wrong. I'll go back to a math problem. If you go through your life believing that 2 plus 2 is 5, and nobody tell you it's not 5, you're going to be wrong every time you go to the store. And if you become an accountant, which I think a lot of accountants probably do have this problem, you're going to be wrong. You're always going to be wrong. You'll be wrong all your life until you can be wrong. And then you can be right. Oh, it's not 5. I was wrong. And now somebody can teach you what is right. If you cannot be wrong, you are unteachable. If you're already right, you already know.
Right.
Well, I don't care how wrong you are. If you're sure you're right, nobody can teach you what is right. You see, the problem is not being wrong. We were born into this world wrong. We live our lives so often wrong. Even as a Christian, being wrong is the beginning of being right. Because we're just going to accept as a given, people are wrong. But until they recognize they are wrong, They're not going to stop. You cannot repent unless you're wrong.
That's right.
Until you come to the point in your life where you say, I'm wrong. I better stop. Why would you stop? If you're right, if you're sure you're right, who's going to stop? I'm going to keep going down that path because it's right. Doesn't make any difference how wrong it is. If I know it's right, I'm going to go down that path. I won't stop until I am able to accept the fact I'm wrong. Brother Dan mentioned that I pastored members of his family and all the way, well, three generations. Four generations, if you include Ben's children. The oldest one was his grandmother, Dot, Dorothy, but we called her Dot. Now, I told Brother Dan, I'm going to tell the story. Dot was 90 years old, and Dot had diminished mental acuity. That's a nice way of saying she had dementia. But her Christian, she had such Christian character. I mean, I would almost call her Christian character intense. It burned through the dementia. I'll tell you what I mean. So when she was at her 90th birthday party there in the home that she was in, a nursing facility, a lot of the family came. But she was not very clear, and actually she didn't, not, though she oftentimes did, she didn't know even all of her children that night. She was having trouble. And I think maybe the excitement, you know, when it was a birthday party and there was a big cake and candles and everybody was there. And I mean, everybody was there. Grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And she didn't, so she wanted me to sit next to her. She knew who I was. I was a pastor. She had me sit next to her. And then my wife, Jennifer, sat on the other side. And she started to calm down and after a little while, she looked at the cake, and the cake said, Happy 90th birthday, Dot. And she looked at me and said, Who's that cake for? Whose birthday is it? I said, Well, it's yours. She looked at the cake and said, I ain't no 90. I said, Sister, I believe you are. Now, even in dementia, where most people, they just can't. It's so frustrating because they always are confused and feel wrong. But even in dementia, she looked at me and said, sure enough. I said, ma'am. She said, she was happy. It was her 90th birthday. She had a good time. Do you see? The Christian character was the ability to not be self-willed and demand that she's right. She was capable of being wrong.
Yeah.
That is a rare commodity, even amongst Christians. Shouldn't be, because think about this. When you were saved, you were wrong.
Yeah, you were.
And you knew you were wrong. My Lord came to seek and to save lost sheep. My Lord came to call sinners to repentance. You know, I've heard people say, and that one over there, they need that. Oh yeah. That one. And that, but they have no capacity to need a Savior because they are not a sinner. Of course. course they are a sinner. Of course they are a sinner. But they can't see themselves as a sinner. They can't be wrong. If they can't be a sinner, why would they seek a Savior? I used to be, when I was a kid, a lifeguard. Teenager, I was a lifeguard. And when I was injured in the Army, for a while they really didn't know what to do with me. But I still had my Red Cross lifeguard certification. And the pool for the officer's family, they just sent me down there to be a lifeguard because they didn't know I couldn't, you know, I had a, it's called a profile. I couldn't go out in the field and couldn't do the things that my job and required. So as a lifeguard, I was looking for someone that needed help, needed to be rescued, needed my assistance. And everybody just the whole time, you know, I didn't do anything, but just I was just in South Korea working on my tan, I guess, because everybody was fine and it really wasn't very deep and everybody had a good time and nobody ever, but if somebody were to call out for help, I would have been on it, I guess, if I was, you know, paying attention. Hopefully I would. But you know, only the sick need a physician. Boy, everybody's sin sick. But only those that know themselves to be sick, only they call out to a Savior. Now, salvation requires, there are conditions for salvation. Well, it's almost Armenian, isn't it? My word! Well, the Bible says you must repent and believe. If you don't repent and believe, friend, I don't care how much you believe in a sovereign God, you're going to die and go to hell.
Amen.
Man can't. See, that's the problem. You got to, but no one can. There's none that seeketh after God. No, not one. Whosoever will is Bible. I don't even get creepy crawlies on my skin when I say that. Whosoever will. Problem is, you were born a whosoever won't. And you're going to stay a whosoever won't until the Spirit of God deals with your heart. But if you can't tell me that you look to Christ, that you repented of your sins and believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins, you're lost as a goose in the snow. I know that doesn't work well, I'm told, here in Louisiana, because we don't get a lot of snow. Or any. Lice. But so you fill in the proper analogy, but you're lost. You must repent and believe. But you will not repent unless you know yourself to be in need. You don't need a Savior. Well, of course you need a Savior. But until you know you need a Savior, you won't desire a Savior. You won't seek a Savior. You will not be the whosoever will. Now, God does that. I understand. But I want us to look at the fact that you can never know the good news until you know the bad news. If you've never heard the bad news, you're going to die and go to hell. I don't care how much you hear the good news, because it's for them. That one needs it. It's for them. The fact that Jesus Christ died for sinners is not good news for anyone but sinners. Well, we're all sinners. Yes, but it has no application to you unless you know you're a sinner. But you understand you're a sinner on your way to hell. You've got to hear the bad news before the good news means a thing to you. Jeremiah chapter 31, I'll just read it in verse 18. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God. There's a lot of things that are wrong that people do, and they're just wrong. But you can't teach people if they can't be wrong. Talking about mission work, you know, this might hurt your feelings, and I can't help it, because it's not what I think is wrong, it's what the Bible says. So people that, you know, go down to pick anywhere or up to anywhere in the world. Let's say they're a doctor. And a saved doctor. And they're going to go to Afghanistan. And they're going to be a doctor there and help those people. That's a good thing. And they're going to tell people about Jesus. Well, I hope you tell people about Jesus if you're saved. But that's not mission work. Now, let me define what I mean by mission work, because there is no biblical definition for mission work because the word's not in the Bible. I'm talking about fulfillment of the Great Commission under the authority of one of the Lord's church. You don't need authority if you're a doctor to go down and be kind to people in Guatemala and tell them about Jesus. In fact, you ought to do that if you can do that. But if someone comes here, I'm not going to tell them, you know, brother, I think you're doing the wrong thing, but I'm not going to have them come up here and present the work. Why not? Because that's not biblical mission work. You ought to tell people about the Lord, but that's not what the authority of the Lord's church is all about. It's, as anyone that's been in Baptist Sunday school knows, you preach the gospel, baptize those that the Lord saves with the intent of establishing a New Testament church. Now, it's not about results. It is about intent. Yeah, you might preach your whole life and not see a single person saved. I mean, I won't say that I would not start to question, you know, Lord, is this what you want me to do? But if that's what the Lord, that can happen. Or you might see people saved and baptized and never see a church established. The results are about the Lord, but the intent. Say, well, there's a lot of people that call a lot of other things mission work. Now, this hurts, this word. And it doesn't hurt me to tell them they're wrong. I'm good with that. It's they need to see that it's wrong. See, my problem with wrong, that word wrong, that's an easy word to use. That's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. Man, is that wrong. But I'm wrong. Now I start to get kind of tight in my throat. My stomach gets queasy. I'm wrong? Ooh. People don't like to be wrong. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 21, turn thou us unto thee. So, where does that begin? I'm wrong. I am going the wrong way. You know what's required for a church member under discipline to get right? To be wrong. That's all. If you're wrong, whoa, I gotta stop. This is wrong. So I use mission work as an example. Now, I'll use church discipline as an example. It's so simple. Amoral? Well, then I need to admit I'm wrong. First of all, to myself and to God. And then I can get right. I can get right with the church. First with God and then with the church. People do a lot of things wrong. Christians do a lot of things wrong. And it's so hard to repent. People have asked me, I just don't know how to repent. That's not true. All you got to do is be wrong. That is the secret to repentance. You got to be wrong. So you stop and you turn to what's right. But nobody wants to be wrong. Everybody's right. That same friend told me, we were talking about this one time, and we both thought and said this. Two people, if they disagree, it is possible they're both wrong. But they cannot both be right. If either one of them's right, only one of them can be right. See, really being wrong is so simple. You don't need to know all the things that are wrong. I'm going to pick on Gill because he can't defend himself. Gill and his, boy, I tell you, in his commentaries, he will tell you everything that's wrong. Some nut in Zanzibar, one person believes that. He'll tell you about that. I don't need to know all the things that are wrong. I just need to know what's right.
That's right.
And anything that's not the right, it's all wrong. You just have to know what's right. Well, that's right. That's not what I'm doing. I better stop. Because I'm wrong. That wide, big highway that leads to hell. There's a billion and more entrances to it.
Yeah.
There's so many ways to be wrong. There's only one way to be right. What the Word of God says. That's right. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. People say, oh, it's so hard to know what the Lord wants me to do. I'm not saying that when you're faced with two possibly right choices that you have to pray. I understand that. But you know what the biggest impediment to knowing the Lord's will is? You just can't be wrong. It is so hard to be wrong. Very often I find in my life and in people that I deal with, the right is so easy to know. But you got to get past the wrong. A woman came to me one time and said, this is in Germany. I won't say it in German and, show off or anything. But she said, I'm just tired of my husband. I'm not sure I understand. Well, I don't think we were meant for each other. I've fallen out of love. Is it all right? Nope. I knew where she was going. So what I do, see, because I'm not a very good counselor. I told you about my people skills. So I do this the easy way. I had her open the Bible, her Bible, not mine, hers. I want to make sure she didn't think I'd, rigged this deal. And I had her turn to a couple scriptures. I didn't read them. I said, would you read that to me?
Right.
And she did. And she read me the other one. And I said, now, you answer me. I said, well, the Bible says I can't, but nope. You see, here's how we can fix this wrong problem. If I disagree with the Word of God, I'm wrong. God's right. It's so simple. I'm not saying that emotionally is simple. I'm not saying being the willingness to do that is simple. But knowing wrong and right, it's really kind of simple in most ways. In most areas of our life, all we have to do is look at the Word of God. Well, you know, that could... See, God didn't write His Word for Dr. Professor so-and-so. I know there's things in the Word of God that are difficult to understand, but when you want to know what God wants you to do, all you got to do is sincerely want to know. There was a man who was a itinerant preacher. So that back in the days in Kentucky when there just weren't hardly any preachers, and there were a lot of, like, every little holler, that's, you'll have to get that defined by Brother Dan, but every little holler had a church, but they didn't have any pastors. They'd like, so every week, and really even more often than that, this fella, back of a horse, he would go into all these hollers, and whenever he would show up, they'd have church services. And they'd always have, you know, something on the first day of the week, but sometimes just, you know, church members. But when he came, he needed that. He loved that horse. He needed that horse. He'd get around. The story goes, I wasn't there, this was a couple hundred years ago, but the story goes that he came across a family and they were praying. And their horse was dead and had a wagon. Their horse was clearly dead, lying on the ground. And he said, well, what's wrong? What can I, you know, can I be of assistance? Can I pray with you? And they said, well, brother, and they knew who, I guess, who he was. We're on our way to this other place where the Lord has given me, the husband was telling him, giving me a job. I'm bringing my family. And he had this habit of he had a sheepskin that he'd gotten, I don't know, somewhere. And he would lay it out. And he'd get down on his knees and pray when there was a need to pray. So he got down on his knees and started to pray with them. He said, well, I'm sorry, Lord. He got back up and said, there's no need for me to pray about this. I already know what the Lord wants me to do.
Yeah.
And he wasn't very far from his destination. He gave them his horse, and they went along their way, and he just walked in the last couple of miles. Don't ever dishonor God by saying, well, let me pray about it when you already know what God wants you to do. See, sometimes people will use the excuse of prayer because they want to keep being wrong. They're trying to get God to tell them it's okay. That stinking preacher won't tell me it's okay. But if I can get God to tell me it's okay... So they try to use prayer as an opportunity for God to say, Lord, I'm just going to give you the opportunity to change your mind on this. Now, they don't say that, but that's what they do. That's not prayer. If you can be wrong, you can be right. If you're lost, if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning,
right,
if you don't think yourself a sinner, If you don't believe that you need Christ, the only thing I can do for you is pray. I can't tell you. But if you know you need Jesus Christ, if you understand that you are a sinner on your way to hell, and you believe that he died on the cross to pay for your sins, if you desire Jesus Christ, you can have him, and that is sovereign grace. Because no one seeks after God except that they are drawn to Christ by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Whosoever will means just that. If you know you have a need, you know you're wrong, and you desire Christ, you believe he died on the cross to pay for your sins,
amen,
go to him.
Amen. Yep.
Brother Hilly was talking to me about when he was saved, and it reminded me of another story of revival meetings going on in England. And this young man, I'm going to tell you about, he was the son of a pastor. And he saw people being saved. And when I say revival meetings, I mean the Lord was reviving people. It wasn't just a meeting. Anybody can call it a revival meeting. It's not a revival meeting if no one's revived.
That's right.
And revival, by the way, always begins with God's people. So God's people were being revived, and the Lord, and people were seeing that, and the Lord was using it, and he was bringing people from death unto life and causing them to believe the gospel preached.
Right.
And they were repenting of their sins and calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man, this young man saw that, and he was, but you know, he had been so instructed here, but he did not have the capacity to be wrong. And he prayed, he said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Oh, he said, he prayed. Now, I'm just reading, and I'm telling you what I read that he wrote. "Oh, if I could only know that the Father gave me to the Son." And he prayed, and he agonized, and then he was quiet. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Read the rest of that. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me, I will nowise cast out."
That's right.
No one's going to go to Christ if they don't need him. No one wants a Savior that doesn't need to be saved. No one needs to be rescued if they're not aware. You might be drowning, but if you don't know it, you're just going to die. But if you know that you are a sinner deserving hell, that's a good start. I can work with people that know they're wrong. If you know you're a sinner deserving hell, and you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins, God, by his grace, has gifted you the knowledge of your sin and the belief in Jesus Christ. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's just as simple as it gets. But nobody's going to call. Now, I know Romans 10. I just won't repeat Romans 10. I'm going to apply it, Romans 10, however, to this. Nobody's going to call upon the Savior if they don't know they need to be saved. First of all, you've got to believe he'll save you. You have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. But you're never going to believe unless you know you're a sinner. Because Jesus didn't die for the righteous.
No, he didn't.
And if you think you're righteous, it's a bad place to be because you're going to die and go to hell. But Jesus Christ died for sinners. You know yourself to be a sinner, that's good news.
Yeah.
If you believe that that he died on the cross to pay for your sins. Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved.
That's right.
If you're a Christian, and you want to be happy and have joy and peace and direction in your life, first come to the place, I'm wrong. You got to start there. And then you look and see what the Lord says. And if you disagree with the Lord, then it's you and you're wrong. If you come to the place where you see, yes, this is of the Lord. That is what I am being led to do is truly of God. I can see that. There's no doubt of it from the Word of God. It's not you, it's God.
Right.
The Lord's right, and you're wrong. That's the secret to a happy life. The capacity to be wrong with the knowledge that the Lord is right.
Yes.
Let's all stand, and we'll have a brother Breland.